Welcome. It's time once again for the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is, Who Are You When You Are Big?, which is the title of a new book by Kimberly Rausch and Alan Milham. Kimberly holds people big. She's dedicated to inspiring and empowering people to tap into their most valuable talents and gifts and to allow their unique magnificence to emerge. She's an executive coach, a published author, keynote speaker, and leadership facilitator. Through her work with senior executives and their team, she has served thousands to discover their individual-based, authentic leadership, paving the way for more meaningful work and greater success both professionally and personally. She's the founder of All-Star Executive Coaching, which specializes in coaching C-level and VP-level executives from Fortune 100 companies to solo entrepreneurs. She's earned the Professional Certified Coach, PCC, designation from the International Coach Federation. And she's a former national partner with Big Four public accounting firm and brings 28 years of business experience to her coaching and speaking. And we are fortunate to have Kimberly right here in the studio with us today. And she's going to share everything with us. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug. What an introduction. Never quite heard it that way before. And
it is you, though.
It is.
Well, I almost left out the part about the Big Four accounting firm. They're just not getting good publicity these days. But that was after you were there. So, right. Hey, we are really excited to have you here today to hear about your business, about you yourself, and get a little taste of your book. Kimberly and I were talking before the start of the show, and she wanted to know, could she share part of a chapter? And I thought, what an exciting concept. Nobody's ever done that. So we're going to make time for that, too, today. And if that doesn't get you out there in the audience to go out and buy the book, I don't know what will.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Well, look, let's just jump right in. Tell us about what you did before what you're doing now.
Sure. So I actually spent 22 years in public accounting. I was a partner at KPMG. My last role was national partner in charge of having the IT auditors and the financial statement auditors play nice together.
Was that possible?
It was. But it took me getting an executive coach.
Good.
It was what prompted me to hire an executive coach for myself. I was dealing with the head of all of the advisory practice for KPMG and the head of all the audit practice. And to be honest with you, I felt really out of my league. I didn't feel like a leader among the leaders of the firm. And I knew how to manage up and I knew how to communicate up. But this role required me to influence, you know, pretty broad range of people. And so I got a coach to help me with leadership and influence. And it was quite a ride.
Wonderful. How long did you work with the coach in that particular role?
So for a couple of years while I was in that role, and really what he helped me see, ironically, was that the part of my job I loved was all about coaching and developing and mentoring and challenging and inspiring people. And after the chairman of our firm was diagnosed with brain cancer and 3 months later he passed away and the firm was reorganizing, Alan, my co-author and who continues to be my coach, just said, what if you got to do 100% of what you loved every day? And what if you could find the position within KPMG that allowed you to do that the most and spent the next year positioning yourself for that? And so that was one of those aha questions that we call them in coaching.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I thought I was doing everything I loved, but I came to realize that I had the opportunity to do everything I loved, but that wasn't the primary thing I was getting paid to do. And some of that part of my job was a little frustrating and wasn't my sweet spot. And so with a long journey, discovered that, this could be really fun. And I remember feeling a little sheepish kind of saying, what about coaching? But who am I to think I can do what you do? And you know, he kind of just snapped right back and said, who are you to think you can't? And I thought, well, what do you mean? You know, he says, you've been coaching people for 22 years. It's what you love. It's what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's what keeps you there late at night. You know, you've been working with CEOs and CIOs and CFOs and boards of directors and audit committees for how many years? You know, you could walk right into the top 5% of coaching. You know, just something I never would have seen on my own. And then finally, he said, you know, you come with the real world business experience that people at those levels, you know, can really understand. You know, some coaches, you know, have more of a therapy background or organizational development background, and they don't have the level of experience, the level of dealing with senior executives that you had that really was kind of a market differentiator and I hadn't necessarily grasped a hold of, you know. So off I went.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, I have to tell anybody in the audience listening, if you're just thinking of getting involved in coaching, be careful. It's very seductive. a little taste of it. And, you know, the other thing is I have met some phenomenal coaches that do not use the label coach, do mm-hmm. not have training. They are just people who naturally have an ability to coach us. And, boy, I admire them. I have to kind of work at it myself, but some people are just naturals at it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I agree. It's very seductive. It's, you know, I pinch myself thinking, wow, I really get to do this, you know, all day, every day.
Isn't that the truth? Okay. So now that brings us up to now. So tell us about your business. What do you do? Who do you work with? And how do you find your clients?
Sure. So, you know, most of my business comes through networking. I work with C-level and VP-level executives. Kind of the tagline of my company is that I coach business leaders for professional excellence, fun, and fulfillment in work and in life. I found that I knew how to be professionally excellent in my career, and most of the people I worked with, you know, emphasized the professional excellence piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there were a little, you know, rough edges that needed to be smoothed out in that. But I found that when you had the three of those things, professional excellence, fun, and fulfillment, there was kind of a triple play there of people who were truly successful, not just successful because they had a title or a position or they made a certain amount of money or they lived in a certain neighborhood or drove the car that they wanted, but the people that truly seemed successful in their lives according to their definition of success, not according to a definition of success, that they've never really thought about or questioned or they just kind of took for granted, as I did for many years, to be honest with you. And I found that those were the people that others had a lot of fun following. Those were real leaders. You know, those were the people that could bring people along and that people loved to work for and to work with. And so I get to do that. I might be working with a leader who's just been promoted into a new role or somebody who's trying to get promoted or somebody who just got a new boss, somebody whose stress behaviors might be showing up a little too often, somebody who needs more emotional intelligence or better communication skills or wants more work-life balance, just a whole variety of reasons why an executive might bring me in. And then I also sometimes work with their teams as well and do retreats or team building type events or just a variety of things that we can do with their organization. I'm also a keynote speaker and leadership facilitator, as you said in my intro, which I find I just love. I love you know, the one-on-one coaching, and I get so much fulfillment out of that. And yet I also find that for my own fulfillment, I love leading something. And so the leadership facilitation and keynote speaking gives me an opportunity to be leading as well.
I think I can relate to that. I love the one-on-one coaching, but there's a side of me that kind of can't wait to get up on the stage. You know, I should be embarrassed about that, but that's who I am. You know, I love how many times you mentioned the word fun already in this interview. You know, I have to remember, it struck me. I came home last night and sat down for dinner with my wife, and I had been gone all day coaching. And she says, how was your day? And I said, oh, I had so much fun today. And she was looking at me. I said, oh, but I worked really hard. You know, so I had to apologize for it because, you know, I'm supposed to be out there working. but it right. is just nothing but fun.
Right, right.
So I can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. I had a limiting belief for a long time that my greatest value lied in me doing the most miserable work there was to be had.
Oh,
you
painful.
Know, like the harder you worked, the more you put in that somebody else wasn't willing to do, the greater value I had in some way. And if I really had to be honest, it's probably, you know, what prompted more stress behaviors to show up that weren't particularly attractive.
It does. So let's just say right away, there's a big takeaway for the audience right there. You know, if you've got a belief that says work can't be fun, you need to rethink that. There's no reason your work can't be fun. In fact, I'm a firm believer your work should be fun because
Absolutely.
That's when you're the most creative, the most mm-hmm. open-minded, and really, bottom line, most productive.
We spend too much time working every day to not have it be something that we truly enjoy doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Truly enjoy doing.
Okay. So, you know, there's a question, and I sort of told you about it beforehand. We've asked every guest we've had on the show for the last 5 or 6 years, and we've never had a duplicate yet. So what is your sort of guiding principle or major life lesson that you've learned along the way that kind of influences who you are and how you think?
So I had a life lesson that actually resulted in me writing this book. And one of the things I do is a boot camp for executives in transition. It's a free 4-week program where we're just paying it forward and you know, offering people some help. And a question was posed to me early on in my coaching career, and it's something that I've gone on to ask them, and that's kind of what spurred the book. But the lesson was around the question for me. And here I was, you know, I'd been this national partner in a global firm with resources at my fingertips. You know, I had, you know, people at my beck and call, basically. And I made this bold move, decision to step out and become Kimberly Rausch, entrepreneur, one-woman show, no executive administrative assistant anymore. You know, I made my own photocopies. I bought the photocopier, and I was feeling really small. And so, of course, naturally, I had a coaching session on it with my coach.
Good. You knew where to go.
Exactly. And he said, excuse me, did you leave any part of Kimberly Rausch at KPMG? And I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, your experience, your accomplishments, you know, your personality, your energy, your enthusiasm. Did you leave any part of Kimberly back there? Aside from your job title and, you know, and the company you worked for, the name of the company you worked for, because those aren't the things that define you. And I kind of had to stop and, you know, think and really try and contemplate what he was trying to say. And I realized, no. And he's like, well, who's Kimberly Rausch when she's big? Who are you when you're big? In his homework, he had me, you know, write out, who am I when I'm big? And I really had to, you know, sort of think about that.
Not an easy question,
no,
is it?
No. And so, you know, it started off something like, you know, I'm happy, I'm confident, I'm energetic, I'm smiling, singing, doing the I got it going on dance with my team, you know. And you know what I came to realize out of that is that big is a state of mind, and that every moment of every day we make a choice. And I had a choice to make. I could feel small as Kimberly Rausch out all on her own, trying to become an executive coach, probably wouldn't be very successful in my business. Or I could step in and be Kimberly Rausch, executive coach, you know, and ready for this and prepared for this and excited about this and confident. And, you know, it's all a state of mind, and it's there every moment of every day for us to step into. And we just have to be deliberate and intentional and make that choice, take that leap, have the courage to live as our best selves. And do we fall out of that? Sure. But the key is how do we recover to it faster? How do we become more resilient when we do fall out of it? And how do we know what it is so we know if we're there or not?
So this is one of those lessons that I hate, that we don't just learn once. We have to constantly remind ourselves on a daily basis, isn't it?
Yeah, but the more we do it, I find that the easier it is. And I think big is a tool. You know, the book is the tool, and actually writing out a statement of who are you when you're big, I think, is a tool that allows you to access it more easily. When you actually articulate what it is for yourself, for you, it makes it way more accessible.
Wonderful. Well, look, it's time to get into the book. You got me curious now. Do you want to start talking about how you got to the book, or would you like to start with reading us that chapter that you wanted to share?
Well, I can certainly start with reading that chapter, sure.
Let's whet the audience's appetite by...
All right.
And they don't even need to log on to Amazon and be a Prime customer to read the advanced pages. Here you are, the author. It's story time, children.
Sure. So the beginning of every chapter in the book starts with a big statement that's written by somebody I know. And depicts who they are when they are big. The first one, or the one I'm going to read today, is from Frank Borst, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Vintage Senior Living. And his is, "When I am big, I live at the crossroads of opportunity and giftedness. It's a place where my education and experience, my talents and passions, are deployed in such a way that my daily work is transformed into my life's calling. When I'm big, I help an organization discover and clarify its mission, define and design its strategy, and align investment so that financial performance is a natural consequence of mission fulfillment and not the primary objective. When I am big, I am with other people who are big too. And together, we collaborate and work in such a way that accomplishes both corporate and individual goals. I develop not just products and processes, but people as well. When I'm big, my day begins before the alarm goes off, excited about the prospect of a brand new day and hoping that being big gives way to being huge, not just as a professional, but as a husband, father, and friend as well. When I'm big, every fiber of my being is fully being the person that God has designed me to be. That's what I look like when I am big."
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love it. Oh, gave me goosebumps there.
I know.
Well, look, what got you to write the book? I mean, you know, they say that we all have a book in us. I know in my case it's locked in there tight as a drum and refuses to ever come out. So tell us about it. How did it go from an idea to actuality?
Yeah. So I mentioned before I do this free boot camp for executives who are in transition. These are people that are 40, 50, 60 years old, you know, high quality, high caliber people, but never in their wildest dreams thought they'd be unemployed. And so we invite them to a program that's every Tuesday afternoon, and it's a four-week series, and help them understand where they've thrived in their career, help them understand what's getting in their way, what's their negative chatter, and how do we turn that around and be more positive for them. And in the last week, we ask them to come having written a big statement. And each person comes, and they read their big, and we ask them to be big when they read their big. And we've had over 900 people go through this free program, and we've also had we've used this question with other audiences, both our clients and companies that we've worked with, and we've asked this question to over 1,500 people and seen its power to transform. But when the people in the boot camp read this, read their big, and they're being big when they read it, even though they've been in this program for 4 weeks with one another, their magnificence emerges, right? I mean, you truly see who they are. They're very seen, and everybody else in that room is witnessing them in their greatest state, in their greatest state of mind. And then the next person goes, and then the next person goes, and then the next person goes, and it's like this geyser of positivity starts to be present. And month after month after month after month, we've been doing this for 6 years, I get to experience the same thing. And it just became too compelling not to share more broadly.
And that led to the book.
It did. It did.
It led to the book.
It did.
So how difficult, I mean, how difficult was it for some of these people to write the big statement? Were they able to do the statement they were satisfied with the first time?
Yeah, for the most part they are. As a matter of fact, in the book, there's one about a guy who had taken a year off to sail around the world. And when he got back, the market had crashed. He was unemployed. And he was like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, have been a goof off for a year. And now look what I've done. And he was feeling really low and really, you know, just, you know, he had no idea the economy was going to do what it did. And he really felt in trouble and in danger, if you will, which is, you know, oftentimes we make things way worse than it is.
Yeah.
And he wrote this beautiful sailboat ballad. He said he sat down for about an hour and it just came out. And it talks about, I'm not going to get the words exactly right, but you know, I'm headed out of harbor and my cabin is fully stocked and I'm ready for the adventure on the high seas and, you know, ready for whatever the ocean may throw at me. And, you know, and then another one is as I'm heading back into port after a full day's, you know, or, you know, whatever, a trip or whatever, and my brass is polished and my sails are furled and my crew is laughing and my, you know, and it's just, I mean, you could just so feel it. It was just this metaphor from this great journey he had just been on in his life for the past year, and it only took him an hour to write it. And it was just absolutely amazing.
Okay, so there's another lesson. This doesn't have to take all week. It doesn't have to be rewritten 10 times. It's give yourself a little quiet time and let the truth pour out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because it can always be a constantly evolving document too,
sure.
Right? Like you can take your first stab at it in 10 minutes if you want to and you know, get some basic points down that help you step into being in that state whenever you choose to, whenever you want to, whenever you feel called upon. You know, we have these executives who are in transition read this right before they walk into an interview. And, you know, their frame of mind for that interview is, you know, they're invincible, kind of, you know. So it's just really fun to watch.
That's great. Yeah. Well, look, the producer's getting ready to wave us down for a commercial here, and we're going to go to a commercial in just a minute. And don't go away. We're going to come back and get into more of this. This is great, Kimberly. Thank you for being with us today.
Super. Thank you.
Okay, and we're back with Kimberly Rausch talking about her new book, Who Are You When You Are Big?
That's right.
Oh, that's embarrassing. I'm looking at the book across the table from me, and it's upside down, and I can't read upside down. Well, look, it's been fascinating so far, and we've heard some great stories about what got you to this point. What is the purpose of the book in your mind? What do you want people to get out of it when they read it? What's the action that you're hoping it will stimulate?
You know, I think coaching so much is about getting people into an empowered state of mind. You know, you and I both know that in coaching there's a core premise that, you know, our clients are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. They're not broken. They don't need to be fixed. They're not, you know, helpless. They don't need to be helped. They need to be served. And if we can help them just get into their most resourceful place, that's what this book is all about. I found that the question has so much power in it. It's one of those, you know, in coaching we talk a lot about powerful questions, and it's a question that I've seen on such a broad scale help just people really find that sweet spot for themselves.
Wonderful. So what are some of the main concepts in here that you want to share with us
sure.
in the book?
Yeah, when I talk as a keynote, you know, I really focus in four areas. And the first is that, you know, big is a state of mind. And again, it's available to us, you know, any moment of any day. It's up to us to step into it. You know, I find that if we write it out and identify with it, the more we do to actually understand what that is for us, the easier it is to step into upon on demand. And we get a lot of questions around big and people thinking of it being kind of big ego, and are we sure we want to use that word because it might not have the right connotation. And you know, big is not about ego. It's not about, you know, title or money or position. Big is when you're on your game, when you're energized, when you're engaged, when you're flourishing or thriving. It's who you are when all your cards are lined up, you know, when you're operating on all cylinders. And, you know, what describes you in the in that state? What defines you in that state? And what we find is that it's not about I'm big when I have a car, or I'm big when that person likes me, or I'm big when... It's not conditional upon anything, you know? It's when I am big, I am confident or happy or centered or whatever it is for you, you know? And it's really the ego of the heart. It's not the ego of a big head.
And you know, it's a very visible thing. You know,
yes.
I mean... I'm sure everybody's run into this. I've been to parties, met strangers, or been to networking events, met strangers who, as I was meeting them, my mind is going, this is a really important person. They act really important. Not ego acting.
Right.
But they're confident. They're assured. You know, what is it that they do? They must be somebody really big in charge of something. And you kind of search for it. It just shows. It shows in the way in which they communicate.
Yeah, and often they're very humble.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah.
Usually they are. I mean, when you're truly in line with your with who you are when you're big, you tend to be more humble. Yet confident at the same time. Like you, you own it, and you're not afraid of using it improperly. It just is who you are.
Okay. So that's the first concept there.
Yeah.
That it's a state of mind.
Yeah. The second thing is that big comes from within. So again, it's not I'm big when my boss likes me, or when I complete that project, or when I get that title or that office or that woman, or, you know. Because so often we find that people are waiting for some form of external validation of who they are or of their success. And big really comes from your gifts, your strengths, your values, your sweet spot, you know, whatever that is. I know when I was having that conversation with my coach around, you know, who am I to think I can be a coach? And he said, who are you to think you can't? And you know, he says, you've been coaching people for 22 years. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I just kind of assumed that everybody did that. And I just kind of assumed that, you know, some people did it well and some people didn't do it really well. But we almost take our gifts for granted. You know, they come so easily to us. And they're something that's within us. It's not, you know, nobody had to give me that. It was something I sought out because I just enjoy doing it. And it's in line with my values. And it's the most rewarding part of my job. It's the most meaningful part of my job, right? And so what is it within your listeners, you know? What is it within anybody out there that they're trying to lead even that is going to ignite somebody into living from their passion?
And you know, it's not as if anybody, there is nobody who's been left out when it came to handing out personal capabilities.
Right.
We just got different items and different quantities from each other.
Right.
So it's an exploration, as you mentioned, developing your big statement, mm-hmm. an exploration of identifying what is it that you do well? What is it that you're confident in? What are the gifts that you have that make you feel big?
Yeah, where do you light up?
Yeah.
You know, when you tell a story about where you've been flourishing or where you've been thriving, you know, your eyes sparkle, you know? to the contrary, if you tell a story about your greatest sounding accomplishment trying to impress somebody, people might hear frustration in your voice, you know? And we want people to really tap into that place that comes from their heart, not from their head.
I think you and I are in trouble because before the show, we were really lit up talking about dogs. And hopefully that's not where we're the only place we're big.
No. We did just place the dog, though. I feel kind of big about that.
And you should. That was a great story. So it comes, so big is a state of mind. It comes from within. What else?
So the third thing is that when you're in that state of mind, you know, it's easy and effortless. You know, you're faced with a great challenge and you're like, bring it on, game on, let's go. you're not, oh, I don't know how to do that, or, you know, well, God, you know, like you might have some anticipation, but it's not doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a state of flow, and you're not working at anything, but rather you're playing with everything, right? It's a sweet spot. It's a special spot. And the more we can learn to play in that space or play with that frame of mind, the easier everything is. You know, take a difficult conversation. I actually do a little seminar on playing with conflict.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Okay, tell me about this one.
Well, it's all about, you know, everybody rushes away and runs away from conflict. And if you could look at what the gift is in it, if you could look at what it would mean to be aligned with the other person or to understand the other person's map of the world and have them understand your map of the world so that you're not actually in conflict, but you can solve the problem together, you've probably just, you know, increased your relationship with that person tenfold. So I view it as this huge opportunity to align and collaborate and connect if given the right tools and the right mindset. And you're coming at it not from a, oh, I have to give in, or I have to be a victim, or I have to, you know, there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. You know, all of those are probably not the biggest mentalities, right?
Right.
But understanding acceptance, connection, and getting to the best possible answer using both people's highest positive intentions can create something really special.
And you know, I would maybe question a little bit of that, in that, you know, we hear the words in coaching all the time about be curious,
mm-hmm.
be in a learning environment, all mm-hmm. sort of synonymous with what you're saying. But my observation has been that one of the things that really takes away a conflict in a conversation is when the parties can let go of being dedicated to finding an answer and just have a conversation to reach an understanding of position. It sort of seems the answer then sort of comes by
emerges.
Itself.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with that, and I don't think that's a conflict at all. I think the first thing you have to do is get inside the other person's head and be willing to listen to their whole side of the story, and hopefully, you know, have them get inside your head and be vulnerable enough to kind of be willing to lay down what you're thinking and open enough to be, you know, to hear what they're thinking. So that, and I agree, the problems tend to solve themselves.
So I can be vulnerable and big at the same time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Super fun. So the last thing about big that I tend to talk about is that big has a ripple effect and it's game changing. Because when people start asking, who am I when I am big? And they start understanding who they are. I remember in the boot camp we had a guy who, the last sentence of his big statement was, and most of all, I noticed that when I'm big, everybody else is big around me too. And I thought, wow, you know? Yeah. And it does have that impact. You know, when you're big, you allow other people to be big, and then there's a ripple effect, and it becomes game-changing. There's actually a Marianne Williamson poem that has some language similar to that in there as well. I think it's called A Greatest Fear, or Deepest Fear.
By being too small.
Yeah.
I love that poem.
Right. And who are you not to be big, right?
Yeah.
And so it becomes game-changing, and not only does it start showing up, you might take this and apply it at work in the first scenario, and then it starts showing up at home, and then it starts showing up when you're, you know, you're coaching your kid's softball team or the nonprofit organization that you're involved in, and it ripples out into your family and your communities and just a much broader perspective than...
Kimberly, help me with this, because I love the concept. I'm not sure I've completely grasped it yet, about the fact that when I am big, others around me become big also. It sort of seems, well, gee, that's weird. If I get big, you stay the same size. I'm bigger.
Mm.
Now we're comparing. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say that.
Yeah, you know, ironically, I think it sort of ties back to my tagline in my company, which is coaching business leaders for professional excellence, fun, and fulfillment in work and in life. And when you have a leader who's on their game, right? They're professionally excellent. They're having fun. They're fulfilled. Their work is meaningful. It's kind of like contagious, right? Yeah. You start seeing other people playing to that higher standard as well, right? And that's the type of person who believes in other people. And I find when you believe in somebody, everybody rises, right? When you start seeing the good in people, when you start seeing their big potential, if you will, they start rising to that potential. And it doesn't become a competition. It becomes we all rise together, and you know there's a unity to it. I've done this. I do facilitated sessions with big, and I've seen groups that were really kind of struggling with one another, and they come together because we start talking about who are we when we are big.
So it goes beyond who am I, it's who
right,
are we. Okay,
right.
A little different twist there.
Exactly. There's a whole chapter in the book on who are we when we are big. And it can be much broader.
And I think the key thing that you hit on for me is it's not bigger.
Mm-mm.
It's big.
Mm-hmm.
Big
mm-hmm.
difference. Big
yeah.
difference there.
Yeah.
Big difference. Allowing others to be big
mm-hmm.
and enhancing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Game changing. I like that statement.
Yeah.
Has it been game changing for the people that you've worked with? Obviously, you can't know. Everybody that's read the book may not have talked to you about it, but you've probably heard some stories and some feedback. How's it been game changing for people?
Yeah, you know, I do keep in contact with these 900 people that have gone through the boot camp. I hold a quarterly reunion, and we get at least 100 or so back at every single one of them.
And good for you.
And time again, I just hear stories about, you know, how their big statement just, you know, propelled them. As I was collecting bigs to write the book, one person who had come to mind and I reached out to, she moved. So she lived here locally. She started a business here as a result of writing her big statement.
Hmm.
I've had other people say that, you know, gosh, they knew, they realized that what they were looking for was not what they were meant to do because of their big statement. But this one particular woman who was living here and ended up starting a whole business has since moved to Florida. And when I called her to talk about it, she said, I still have it hanging on my wall in my new office. You know, it's right here, you know. And I know people who continue to carry them around with them, you know, long after they landed into great new positions. And I've heard people, you know, I've had people bring me in and work with their teams because of the power of the question. And I've seen what those teams have accomplished. And I've just had so many examples of people reaching back and telling me the impact that it had on them. So that's kind of amazing and humbling, to be honest with you, you know.
And I love the possibility, the excitement that of working with a team. As a team develops their big statements, their individual statements, and I assume they can also develop a team big statement.
Yeah, they do. They do. So I do two different, I do keynote speaking, but I also do a 4 to 8 hour facilitated session on who are you when you are big. So it's intended to have individuals identify their big statement.
Okay.
And really go in depth on it and develop, you know, like you said, it, you know, you can sit down and you write one in 10 minutes, or you can spend a little extra time and have some tools to perhaps write something a little more meaningful for yourself. And so we do that in a 4 or 8 hour facilitated session. I also have a session called Who Are We When We Are Big, and it's a 4 or 8 hour facilitated session. And you don't have to have done the Who Am I When I Am Big beforehand, but each participant does come to the session having written a Who Am I When I'm Big statement. So again, they're not the fully developed 4 or 8 hour session version of those, but you'd be amazed what they come in with. We give them the examples that are in the book, and they get a feel for what it's all about, and we give them a little bit of a description, and sometimes they have the book ahead of time. And, you know, they start off, like I talked about each person being seen when they read it in the boot camp.
Right.
that happens with this team that has just come together. You know, maybe it's a marketing department of a company or something. I can think of two different ones that I did this with. And, you know, maybe they're a team that's not all gelled even, right? And yet each person, when they read their big statement, they're so seen and they're so witnessed. And then the next person goes, and the next person goes, and they find out stuff about each other that they had no idea, and they see a depth in each person that they had no idea existed. And that alone unites them. And then that's how the session starts. So from there, with them in this big state, then we start playing with, okay, who are we when we are big? And by the end of it, we've developed a big statement for the organization.
Oh, wow.
Whether it's a department, a company, an executive team, whatever it is. It's incredibly powerful and fun. I could see
the audience, you're missing this audience. She's sitting across from me, and she's just getting all excited just thinking about it. Talk about your eyes lighting up and sparkling. I mean,
exactly.
You love this, don't you?
I always talk about my occupational hazard being, you know, that my cheek muscles hurt so much because I smile too much.
Okay.
A little different than my public accounting days.
A little bit different.
Just a tad.
Well, look, what else would you like to share with us? You've anticipated my questions. I mean, anything else that we should cover about the book or just about you and what you do that we haven't touched on yet?
Gosh, I'm wondering if I should read one more of the big statements to send our audience off inspired.
All right, before we, because we are getting close to wrapping up, so why don't you give us another taste of excellence here.
Fun. So this one is from Sylvie Felks. She is a senior manager in IT brand communication and transformation at Adobe. And incredible woman, and I actually have this one videotaped, which is on our website, which is super fun to watch because she knocks it out of the park. Hers begins, "When I am big, I'm sleepless. I can't stop thinking about all the projects I want to start, the people I want to connect with, and the books I want to read. I feel like a teenager. I take the wheel, I open the moonroof, I increase the volume on the radio, and I sing out loud as if the world was mine. I feel invincible. I speak up. I trust my instinct. I don't fear controversy. And I express my opinion without filters. I feel authentic. I go for what I want. I stay focused until I reach the final line, no matter how long it takes or the obstacles that I encounter. I feel like an Olympian. I lean in. I find the white spaces. I take ownership and I make it happen. I feel like an entrepreneur. I entertain. I invite amazing people and I craft a memorable experience for them. Great food, French wine, jazz in the background. I feel like an Iron Chef. I'm in balance. I take care of my health and I'm available for my family, my friends, and my team. I feel in harmony. I take off with my boyfriend to vibrant cities of the world where we get inspired to dream big about us. I feel brand new."
I love it. Brand new. Great. Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the book and sharing your experiences. You mentioned your website in the video. I've been on your website, but I did not see that video. I must not have taken the time. You know, multitasking. I'm not good at it, but I do it all the time.
Well, actually, you probably went to my All-Star Executive Coaching website.
I did.
Which is www.allstarexecutivecoaching.com. But there also is a website specifically for big called www.gettingtobig.com. That's a T-O, gettingtobig.com.
Okay.
And that's our Twitter handle and our at Getting to Big and Getting to Big. There's a group in LinkedIn and Who Are You When You're Big? There's a group in Facebook, too, where you can connect and like us and see what's up and what's new with us.
Okay. Bethnal. That's how we can get a hold of you. So you're on all the social media sites.
We are. All the main ones, anyway.
All the main ones. Yeah. Nobody's on all of them.
Right. And if you sign up on our mailing list on our website, you can get a copy of a video that we did, or a webinar, actually, that we held on our launch day for the book, which was May 16th, called The Impact of Big, where we interviewed four people. And each one of them spoke to one of those four main points in the video. And Frank Borst's video is in there, and Sylvie Felix's video is in there as well, along with a couple others.
Now, which website do I want to go to get that?
That's the gettingtoobig.com.
Gettingtoobig, mm-hmm. T-O.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Kimberly, thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you, and welcome to being part of the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
My pleasure. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Right.